Hello there, wherever you are within the sound of my voice. Welcome to another interesting episode of the weekly podcast of the Pharmacist Watch. Today, we are going to be looking at a very interesting topic that I promise you will be very interesting, very engaging, and very informative. Today, we'll be looking at drug abuse. My name is Pharmacist CJ, your neighborhood pharmacist, and I welcome you to this episode, and I hope you enjoy it. For the purposes of definition, let us look at what is drug abuse. Drug abuse is the use of illegal drugs or the use of prescription or over-the-counter drugs for the purposes other than those for which the drugs were meant to be used or when those drugs are used in large amounts. Drug abuse can and may lead to social, physical, emotional, or even job-related problems. Now, when we talk about drug abuse, what do we think is abuse? You know, when we say drug abuse, as healthcare providers, as pharmacists, who are the custodians of drug, what do we have at the back of our mind when we say drug are abused? Well, I can tell you that everything is abused. Everything that is drug is abused. In fact, in this part of the world, anything abusable is abused. From alcohol, to antibiotics, to cough syrups, to benzodiazepines, sedatives like your diazepam and your bromazepam and what have you. Now, having said that, now let us look at who abuses drug. When we say drug abuse, who are the people that abuse drug most? Well, according to a survey conducted by the Nigerian Bureau of Statistics, NBS, and the Center for Research and Information on Substance Abuse, with technical support from the United Nations Office on Drug Use and Crime, UNODC, and of course the funding from the Union, the European Union, reported that the highest level of drug use and of course highest level of drug abuse in Nigeria was recorded for people between the ages of 25 to 39 years old. So from this report, you can induce that it is the young generation, it is the young population that actually abuse drugs. Those between the ages of 25 and 39 years old, that is the able-bodied people, the workforce of the nation, are the people who abuse themselves away on drugs. But I can tell you, apart from this age group that has been identified statistically and by a survey, I can tell you that even young people abuse drugs, like vitamin C. Their parents buy vitamin C for them as sweet, keep it at home, and they just have a few days with the vitamin C. Some children take as much as 30 vitamin C. Even some children finish the cup of 100 tablets, you know, in a day. Meanwhile, a vitamin C is not supposed to be taken not more than 1,000 milligrams. That tablet comes in 100 milligrams, so you're not supposed to take more than 10 in a day. So, but I can also tell you that apart from this, the ones I've just mentioned, our old men also abuse drug. In fact, they abuse drug very, very well, especially sedatives. So, for those of us that work in the community pharmacy, you will agree with me that our elderly people abuse drugs, especially benzodiazepines, like your bromazepam, or what is popularly known as Lexotan, or your Talen. This drug is abused by elderly to a very, very high level. I tell you, they bring all kind of prescription that has no heading, prescription that has no doctor's signature, prescription that has no date. I don't know where they bring it from, and they just come in to buy bromazepam. The funny thing is that most of them, when you tell them that, where is your prescription, or I cannot sell the drug for you without a prescription, they go sanctimonious. They try to tell you how old they are, how they are not small children, how they are matured enough. You know, they even try to, you know the way we behave in Nigeria, try to use age to emotionally blackmail you into selling such drugs to them. But there's something I want to point out very clearly, and then I might have to maybe advise our doctors, especially the older doctors who train people in the hospitals as nurses. Please, when you are training these people, try as much as possible to tell them that bromazepam is not an antihypertensive. It's not an antihypertensive. It's not used in managing hypertension. The drug is actually meant for anxiety. It's an anxiolytic. It's an anti-anxiety medicine. It's used to manage anxiety. It's not used in managing hypertension, because we have so many cases where somebody will just walk into the pharmacy to tell you that maybe they're having headache, and it's okay, let us check your blood pressure. And then when you check the person's blood pressure, you find out that the blood pressure is very high. And then you are forced to answer your blood pressure is very high. Are you not on drugs? Of course. Why will it be high? I'm taking drugs. It's okay, let me see the drugs you're taking. And when they bring out their drug, you find out that it's Lexotan that they are taking, or the bromazepam that they are taking as an antihypertensive. Please let us have it at the back of our minds that bromazepam, that is Lexotan or Tylenol, they are not antihypertensive. They are not used in managing hypertension. When somebody has been diagnosed as being hypertensive, then some approaches, there are protocols that are needed that has to be followed. Now, if non-pharmacological approach, that is trying to manage the BP without medicine, has failed, then the person has to be placed on the appropriate antihypertensive in order to manage the BP, to prevent the BP from going too high, so that we can prevent what we call end organ damage, we can prevent stroke, we can prevent heart attack and what have you. So it's very important that we understand, we separate those things, because I have seen people that come around and tell you that they are having a high blood pressure. That's because they did not sleep well. That's why I agree that somebody not sleeping well can contribute to elevating the blood pressure, but it's not the sole cause. Of course, there are so many people who are stressed and they are not sleeping very well. If you are hypertensive, it's going to be worse, because the BP will rise higher, and then than somebody who is not. So you say it's very important that you don't have to take sleeping pills as a substitute for your blood pressure medicines. It's not advisable at all. Then we also have to understand that there are many implications for drug abuse. There are many health implications for drug abuse. Of course, when somebody is abusing drug or taking some certain drug excessively, of course, it can lead to psychotic disorders. It can lead to mental illness. It can lead to cognitive impairments. It can lead to somebody not being able to coordinate themselves. It can lead to cancer, it can lead to heart failure, it can lead to problems in pregnancy. So we have to, as much as possible, because of the health implications of drug abuse, we try not to abuse them. We try not to take drugs that are not prescribed or not recommended. And even though they are recommended, we try not to take them excessively. And we also have to understand something, so in some of these implications. One other implication that we also have to look at, or bear in the back of our mind, at the back of our mind when taking this drug, is the legal aspect of drug abuse. Of course, when you abuse drugs and then you manage some employment somewhere, and the many company, they will decide to check, to test you to see if there are drugs in your system. And if they find out that there are drugs in your system, you might be very good in that job. You might be an expert in that job. You might have been qualified for that job. But if it's a very serious company, they might not give you the job, because they think that they think that you are an abuser of drug, maybe an addict, as the case may be. Also, when you take drugs and you drive under the influence of drug, maybe under the influence of alcohol, maybe under the influence of tramadol, maybe under the influence of codeine, cocaine syrup, or what have you, and then you know when you drive under such influences, you constitute a nuisance to yourself. And then you constitute a nuisance and even harm to other road users. And when you do that, that can land you in jail. Of course, there are also other implications, like the financial implications of it. I have a patient like that, a man I know, that he was having a problem with his place of work. He lost his job. But before he lost his job, he had this car that he was driving. Of course, when everything was going well and everything was rosy, he had this car that he was driving before he lost his job. Now, because he lost his job and he's at home, he became depressed, he became worried, and then he could not sleep well. And then he was looking for a way out. And then I happened to come across him and he explained everything to me. And I told him that, well, the best solution for this problem that you're having is for you to go and look for a job. Then if you cannot get a job, it's advisable that you put the car that you are driving, your car, in Uber. or use it as a taxi. By the time you walk from morning to night, you'll be tired, and when you come home, you are going to sleep very well. But I think there is some certain level of ego somewhere. I think he did not take the advice. Rather, he went, he told me, thanked me, and went away. But after like a month or so, he came back with prescriptions for bromazepam, that is Tylenol, or what is popularly known as Lexotan, for me to give him. And when I look at the prescription, I saw that it was given to him like a month ago, and that was for 2 weeks. And I told him that, okay, this prescription has expired. It's not that I could not sell it to him, because I understand the implications of taking such drug when he becomes addicted. He's not bringing any money to the family. The wife is the one sustaining the family. And of course, he left. He pleaded with me and said all sorts of pleading, tried to blackmail me emotionally and what have you. But I refused. I told him I cannot sell to him. He should go back to his doctor and get another prescription, which I know sometimes it's very difficult for them to go back and get another prescription from the medical doctors. So he left. But after like 2 months, he came back with a prescription, a fresh prescription now that has a bromazepam and an amitriptyline. And of course, he came with his wife. So when I was asking him what happened, how he got the prescription, and then why was he prescribed 2 drugs for, he said that it's actually the doctor that looked at it and prescribed it. Of course, I have seen the prescription. I know it's a medical doctor that did that. But then in the course of our discussion, his wife, you know, expressed her displeasure with the fact that sometimes when she keeps money, the husband will take it. The man didn't find it funny because he felt that the wife was trying to ridicule him in the public. Or in my presence, as the case may be, he tried to say, shouted on the wife that, is he trying to accuse him of stealing and what have you? No. After we calmed everything down, I know that there is high possibility that he's doing that because he's already addicted to the drugs. So he's taking those drugs to calm himself down in order to be able to sleep. But the drug has gotten to a level we refer to as tachyphylaxis. You need a higher dose of the drug to obtain the response, the therapeutic response we are getting initially with a lower dose. And so since he does not have money and he's addicted, of course he cannot sleep without the drug. So he might be taking his wife money in order to be able to financially sustain his addiction. So another thing that we have to look at on this very engaging and interesting topic is the 10 most abused drugs in Nigeria. The 10 most abused drugs in Nigeria. Now, you will be surprised with the list. Number one on the list is marijuana, or what our people refer to as igbo. Of course, I don't need to even say it. Everybody who lives in Nigeria or who knows about Nigeria already understand that igbo is the most abused drugs from highbrow areas to those in the offices, to those in banks, to those in football pitches, and then to those in ghettos. They all abuse drugs. In fact, a friend of mine once jokingly told me that he doesn't understand why marijuana smokers, that is igbo smokers, when they move newly to a town, all of a sudden they know where igbo is sold, and they just go there and buy it and then mingle with their people. And it's very funny, but that's the truth. The second most abused drug in Nigeria is cough syrups. Of course, we all understand what happened last year when the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, aired a documentary on sales and distribution of codeine containing syrups in Nigeria and the menace that it has caused. If you have an opportunity to watch that video, it's about 1 hour 30 minutes video, the full video. You will understand what codeine containing syrup alone, the harm it has done to this country. And of course, when that documentary was aired, and the loopholes in our regulatory body was brought to the fore, of course the government, through the National Agency for Food, Drug Administration and Control, that the NAFDAC, swung into action and banned codeine containing syrup, its production, its distribution. So anywhere you see it being sold, or anywhere you are buying it, as at this moment, that is August 2019, you are buying it illegally, and when you are caught, you are absolutely and totally on your own, because it has been banned anywhere. Anybody who is selling it and distributing it is doing so illegally. And if you're a pharmacist and you're selling it, and selling it as your own risk. And then for those of you who have not watched the BBC video, the 1 hour 30 minutes video, you can always get in touch with us. We can send the links to you so you can look at it. That's just one of the most abused drug in Nigeria. The damage it has caused on our nation is unbearable. Then the third most abused drug in Nigeria is solvent parties. Solvent parties of various types are greatly abused in this part of the world. The fourth most abused drug in Nigeria is Tramadol, 50 milligram, 100 milligram, and 200 milligram. These drugs are abused greatly. Of course, the NAFDAC has banned the 200 milligram from even the 100 milligram, and then 50 milligram is still being sold, but with strict prescriptions and must be dispensed only by a qualified pharmacist. But it has been abused over time in this part of the world. And another drug that is the fifth most abused drug in Nigeria is the benzodiazepines. Of course, that's where the bromazepam, the diazepam, the flunitrazepam comes in, especially by the old people. Like I've mentioned earlier, our elderly abuse bromazepam excessively. Sedative drug, the benzodiazepines, they abuse it excessively. Most of them rely on it for treating hypertension instead of using their normal drugs, and it's very unfortunate. They will have to, the onus lies on us as healthcare providers to educate these people that benzodiazepines like Lexotan and Tylenol are not anti-hypertensive. They are actually anti-anxiety drugs or sedatives, as the case may be. But the sixth most abused drug in Nigeria is cocaine. Of course, cocaine is smoked or sniffed almost in every corner of Nigeria, from clubs to offices to big men gathering to occultic groups and what have you. They all smoke cocaine, and after smoking, they constitute a nuisance to the general populace. The seventh most abused drug or substance in this part of the world is the feces of lizard. Feces of lizard, my brothers and sisters, this is funny. It's not actually funny, but it's because it's a very serious problem. People get lizard feces, dry it, grind it, wrap it in a paper, light it, and then they smoke it, and it gets them high. I don't understand how that is possible. Maybe the researchers in our research centers and university should be able to come up with the substance that is that's available in the feces of lizard that actually gets people high. Another substance that is abused in Nigeria mostly, that is the eighth most abused substance in Nigeria, is ammonia sniff. You cannot believe that people go to broken soccer ways to sniff the stench that is coming from there. The smoke that is coming from there is very unfortunate. People also go to, you know, public places where, public urinary places where people urinate, maybe in the beer parlor. They have this, some of them have this small zinc that they put together, what our people refer vaguely as batter. In the small thing, they just put there so that people who are after drinking, you know, most of the time when you take alcohol, you tend to urinate, so you can easily go there to ease yourself. So they just go there and inhale the urine. Of course, when you have to understand that when someone urinates, after some time, there are some chemical reaction that goes on there, and then the stench like that of ammonia start coming out from there, and then people go there to sniff those things, and it's unbelievable, but that is the truth. It's a fact. The ninth most abused drug in Nigeria, or substance in Nigeria, is sanitary pad. The ninth most abused substance in Nigeria is used sanitary pads. I don't understand, but this is what is staring us in the face. People actually take used sanitary pad to sniff. Before I used to think it's only people that are into Yahoo, or what my friend refers to as Yahoo Plus, that are stupid enough to think that used sanitary pad is going to give them money, and then they get themselves involved in all sorts of vices. I never knew that people also sniff it to get high, and it's very unfortunate. But that's the situation that we'll find ourselves in this part of the world. Well, the 10th most abused drug or substance in Nigeria is shisha. Of course, we all understand shisha. Shisha has become like the social norm for our celebrities and for people of high class. It's now regarded as a high class smoke. So you see a lot of celebrities, a lot of people, middle class people in highbrow areas, and especially in clubs, smoking these things. But you have to understand that fundamentally, traditionally, the content of shisha is tobacco, and by extension, the content of tobacco is nicotine, is tar, carbon monoxide, heavy metals such as lead. So, and as such, the people that smoke shisha, they will suffer the same fate with the people that smoke cigarettes, and some of those are heart diseases, cancer, respiratory problems, and of course, problems during pregnancy for ladies of childbearing age. Now, let us look at something. As when people smoke or when people abuse drugs and substances, it has a multiplier effect. Number one is when somebody is under the influence of any drug or any substance, there is possibility that they might go into robbery. They have this confidence that makes them feel that that makes them not to see anything as useful. So they might give them enough courage, fake courage, to go into robbery. Some of them, after smoking and drinking and being under heavy influence of substances, can even go into rape. They can go into kidnapping. Most of these people that are kidnapping this part of the world are in Nigeria, from the north to southwest, to the southeast and south, to every nook and cranny of Nigeria that are involved in kidnapping. I tell you that if you get 100 of them, over 75% of them are under the influence of drugs and substances. They abuse drugs and substances, and it's very unfortunate that we'll find ourselves in this part of the world. So the multiplier effect of drug abuse is very, very high. Armed robbery, kidnapping, rape, and all sorts of vices that we have found ourselves that we'll find in this part of the world. Many of them are influenced and still being influenced by the use of drugs and substances, and most especially when such drugs are abused. Now that we have looked at these things, let us try to look at what is the government doing, to stem the tide, to nip this thing in the bud. Of course, we can no longer talk about nipping it in the bud because it's already festered into our system. It's already part of our system in this part of the world. So what is government? What actions are government taking in order to find an end to the problem of drug abuse in Nigeria? Well, the president, after the issue of the codeine saga that happened last year, after BBC aired that documentary on codeine containing syrups, the Federal Ministry of Health, through the NAFDAC, they set up a presidential advisory committee on the elimination of drug abuse, and that committee is headed by the former military governor of Lagos State, that is Colonel Buba Marwa, retired. So he's the one heading that committee to try to bring solutions to the issue of drug abuse in this part of the world. But I want to draw something, and I want to draw our attention to something. Now, the hood seminars, they talk to traditional rulers, they talk to church, pastors, imams, reverend fathers, church leaders, religious leaders, traditional rulers, and those who in one way or the other are involved in shaping the society. They talk to them and try to pass this information down, and maybe probably might get to the roots, or to the ground, or maybe to the normal population, and especially those who are involved in drug abuse, or those who are tending to become abusers. But I want us to know that those seminars that they hold is beautiful. They try to present research and all what have you. It's a safe place for them to talk about drug abuse in Nigeria. So eating and drinking in expensive hotels and having beautiful speeches might not really be the pure solution to the problem. The problem needs to be scaled down to the grassroots. I have come to realize that in Nigeria, that one of the most, if not the most, organized health body in Nigeria is the Association of Community Pharmacists of Nigeria. So if the advisory committee can bring in the Association of Community Pharmacists in Nigeria and empower them from the national level to the state to the zonal and involve their coordinators and all those people, they can help to, you know, take these messages to the grassroots, take it to secondary schools, take it to football pitches, take it to primary schools, take it to parents, take it to churches, take it to mosques, take it to traditional gatherings. They can do it. They just need to be mobilized. They just need to be involved. They are very, very, as you know, community farmers, I'm not saying it because I'm a pharmacist, are very, very organized. So they can always work together with the advisory committee or with the president. And also for us, for government, I would also like to advise that the bill, the pharmacy bill, should please, the president, President Muhammadu Buhari, who is the father of the nation, should look into that bill. I understand that the bill is at the Senate. Probably when it gets to the table of the president, he will not hesitate to sign it into law, so that we'll, at least to an extent, we can begin to hand over the distribution, production, and handling of drugs to those who are qualified to do so. And it's also advisable that the open drug market is dismantled, because at the open drug market is a haven for anybody to go and buy drugs in whatever quantity. So we have to do something about this. I understand that those people who are there selling drugs or doing their business are trying to cater for themselves and provide for their family and as a source of livelihood. But we also have to understand the society, the larger society, that the problem that this unfettered access to drug is causing the society is far more worse, 10 times or even 100 times worse than the problem that people who are involved in the marketing and distribution of drugs, especially in the open drug market, will have when they are out of the open drug market. So let us try. I really hope that the government will have the political will to dismantle open drug markets. I mean, from the storage of the drug to those that are handling it, because most of them are unqualified to do so. They are just interested in their daily bread. And then to fakery and what have you. If governments can have the political way to end this open drug market, it will go a very long way to solving the problem of drug abuse in this part of the world. Then, as a word of advice, I want to, you know, have something for the pharmacist, those that are the custodians of drug. You see, the pharmacists and the medical doctors need to be very careful. For the medical doctors, I would like to advise that, please, it's not advisable for you to be prescribing prescription-only medicine over the phone, on WhatsApp, on social media, for your family members or your church member or your social group, or even for girls or the guys that you love and you want to marry them and what have you, or you are wooing them. Please don't prescribe prescription-only medicine for them over the phone. You see, in pharmacy, most of the time people come in with their phone and say, I just spoke to my doctor, this is what he wrote for me. This is not advisable. And pharmacists as well should not honor such prescriptions. I can understand that when you're in a community pharmacy when you're in a private practice as a medical doctor, community or a community pharmacy as a pharmacist, you tend to have people in the community who are close to you, and they want to give them prescription-only medicine when they think they need it, and not that you think that they need it. So we should be very careful. Of course, there are the legalities involved in it. If somebody takes a prescription-only medicine, maybe something like Suidon or flunitrazepam or Rofinol, as the case may be, and then goes ahead to rape somebody and the person is caught, of course, you that sold it or you that prescribed it over the phone are going to be in a real danger, because the police and the legal system, the law, justice is going to, you know, consider you as an accomplice to the crime. So let us try to be very, very professional in our dealings, especially when it comes to prescription-only medicine. Well, I thank you for listening to us on this very episode. And then you can also watch some of our videos, some of our infographics on our Instagram page at The Pharmacy Watch. You can also follow us on Facebook, on our Facebook page at The Pharmacy Watch. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pharmacy Watch. For our Twitter handle, The Pharmacy Watch is capital letter D, Pharmacy Watch. And others are the Instagram and the Facebook is The Pharmacy Watch. That is THE Pharmacy Watch. So we thank you for listening to us. We will see you next week. Thank you very much.